And this morning, we start up again our weekly chats with Scott Petrek of the Chronicle Telegram. Good morning, Scott. Thanks for joining us again for another season of exciting Browns football.
No problem.
So we had the first exhibition game against the Packers, coming away with a 17-11 loss, but the score is really not what we look for. What are some of the things that we can take away from this first exhibition game?
Yeah, there's a lot of work to do, obviously. I thought RG3, the quarterback, played okay, showed some things, threw a nice deep ball to start the game, took some hits, which is good because he hadn't played in a year, and he's got some injury history, and he's able to absorb those and keep playing. But overall, it was very inconsistent, a few flashes from young players, but a ton of work to do.
Scott, when you look at some of the young players, did anybody stand out for you?
Yeah, I thought on defense, the second-round pick, Emmanuel Agba, who's been going back and forth between the defensive line and outside linebacker, and then third-round pick, Carl Nassib, who's a defensive end, they hadn't done a whole lot in practice, which sometimes happens with defensive guys because you can't hit the quarterback, so you don't know, you don't get a true gauge of how they're doing. They both showed up. They both played a lot. They played into the fourth quarter. Both of them had sacks. Agba led the game. He had a game-high six tackles. So I thought that was encouraging because the Browns need to find a pass rush from somewhere. Both those guys showed that they had that capability.
I know we're a couple of weeks away, but do you think Barkevius Mingo makes the final roster?
Yeah, I think he's right on the bubble. If I had to guess, I would say no. It's what I do like is the coaching staff's giving him every opportunity. They're playing him an outside linebacker. They're trying him an inside linebacker. He was on the field at the end of the game Thursday or Friday night, which is rare for a guy who's been in the league through a few years and who was a number six pick in the draft. So they're trying to let him show that he belongs somewhere. I'm just not sure that he does. I'm not sure he adds enough value. The thing is, he is a good member on special teams. So if there's kind of a question, do you keep him, do you not keep him? He covers punts, he covers kickoffs, so there is some value there for sure.
It would also help if Justin Gilbert steps up his play, and maybe he is. What do you think?
Yeah, it's too early to tell for sure. But a lot of positive reviews from teammates and coaches who say he's a different guy than he was the first 2 years in the league. But you hear a lot of that talk in June, July, and August, and then it's tough to keep that up when you get to the season, or at least it has been for him. But he was fine the other night, didn't give up any catches that I noticed. I think the fact that he worked with the starters for so long when Joe Hayden was out will benefit him. But he's still a giant mystery. All the talent in the world, but has he yet to show it in 2 years? So this is a make-or-break year for him. I think he makes the roster just because there's not a ton of talent or depth behind him. But then if he fails again this year, you probably see the last of him.
Talking with Scott Petrek of the Chronicle Telegram, Browns beat reporters. The Browns are working their way through August, getting ready for the regular season. One of the highlights, I guess, if you were, was the pass to Terrell Pryor. Are these shades of things to come, or is this just one of those exhibition things that you see and you wonder how it's going to translate further into the regular season?
No, I'll tell you what. I was really skeptical about Pryor making the switch from quarterback to receiver last year. He was 26 at the time. I just thought it was too late in his career to make that move, and he didn't do anything last year. You know, he had the hamstring injury in preseason, got cut, came back late in the year, had one catch. But he continued to work at it and try to master that craft of being a receiver, and it's paid off. He looks like a different player than last year. I think he's going to have an impact this season at receiver. I'm not sure he can be a starter, play 70 snaps a game, but I think, if you play him all year long as your third or fourth receiver, he could catch 40 passes and 5 touchdowns, and those are the kind of numbers that have an impact. I think he's shown the ability to run deep patterns down the field, and he's going to be of use in the red zone. Go up and catch touchdowns over cornerbacks. So I think he does have value. He needs to stay healthy. He's dealing with a little bit of a hand, some quote-unquote dead leg period for training camp, but if he can stay healthy, I do think he will have an impact this season, and I wouldn't have said that last year.
What kind of an injury situation do we have right now? Anything to notable coming out of the first exhibition game?
Well, I mean, they lost one of their young, promising receivers, Rennell Hall. Probably wouldn't have made the team, but looked good. Might have been a practice squad guy. He broke a leg and is out for the year. Austin Davis, the third quarterback, maybe fourth quarterback, depending on where the rookie Cody Kessler fits, has a concussion, so he's out. You never know how long he'll miss with the concussion. But the worrisome thing, and they're not like season-ending injuries, but a lot of the receivers are nicked up. Andrew Hawkins and rookie Corey Coleman are still out with hamstring injuries. Josh Gordon, we haven't seen on the field yet with his quadriceps that he reported to camp with. Hopefully we get to see him, if not today, this week. And then a couple of rookies, Ricardo Lewis pulled a hamstring yesterday at the end of practice, and Rashard Higgins, who caught a touchdown Friday, has a little bit of a leg injury. The Browns don't think it's serious. So none of these are huge injuries, but the Browns finished practice yesterday without seven receivers who were dealing with some kind of injury. So you'd like to see them get over that hurdle so you get a full gauge of what they can do at that position.
Craig?
So we have another exhibition coming up, what, Thursday night?
Atlanta. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, Thursday night Atlanta comes to town.
Any expectations there? What might we see at quarterback?
Yeah, well, you got to build up reps with these guys, with the starters. So I think you'll see RG3 play into the second quarter, maybe not a full half, but into the second quarter. And I think the same for pretty much all your healthy starters, especially offensive line. They've been unsettled there at a couple positions through injuries or just not sure who's going to play right tackle. And Hugh Jackson said after Friday night's game that we need to pick the five and kind of settle on those five so they get a feel for each other. So I think it'll be important for that offensive line to play whatever it is, 3, 4, 5 series, start to get some kind of rhythm. They only ran the ball a couple of times with the starters against Green Bay, and they need to do that more this week because Hugh Jackson wants to be a team that runs the ball effectively and maybe even first set up the pass. So you have to establish that in the preseason. So I would expect Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson get several more carries than they did in the opener.
You've been around this team for a while now, this new addition. How do you size up the coaching staff from Hugh onto his top assistants?
Yeah, I've been impressed with Hugh. I really have. He brings an energy that I think has been missing from some previous coaches the Browns had, and he brings a credibility because he's done this before. Unlike the last three Browns coaches, he's been a head coach in this league for 1 year in Oakland. He's been around a long time. A lot of guys are familiar with him from his work as a head coach and then as a coordinator with Cincinnati. So I just think that guys respect him and guys listen to him. And if you talk to a bunch of the players, that's what they'll tell you. And that he brings a different, kind of different vibe, a different atmosphere to practice. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to lose a bunch of games. But I believe that the team feels he is the right guy to lead them. Now they have to go out and make significant changes. Having said that, he's put a lot on his shoulders. He's kind of taken on reviving RG3's career, and he's taken on kind of fixing Josh Gordon and turning his career around. So he's got a lot of these projects to work on, and he's calling plays, and he's the head coach, and he's the offensive coordinator. So if the Browns don't figure it out, not necessarily this year, but if we don't see strides, then I think you have to look directly at Hugh Jackson because he's taken a lot on his plate.
He still has the same quotes that they give in the post-game. I have to look at the tape. I heard that a number of times as well. So he knows some of the coach speak as well, can handle the media with no problem. Again, Atlanta Browns coming up on Thursday. You can follow the Browns and the Chronicle-Telegram with Scott Petrek and also on Twitter at Scott Petrek. Scott, appreciate your time this morning. We'll talk again soon. Thanks very much.
Thanks, guys.